Hey, good morning, church. Good morning, good morning, good morning. My name is Kendrick. I'm one of the pastors here at Calvary Church, and I just wanted to take a few minutes to say good morning. Welcome to worship with us. Today we have a very large passage of Scripture that we need to cover, and we need to jump right in and dive into this study. However, church, as we reflected on the things going on through our nation this week and through our city last night, it doesn't feel right to do anything but go before the throne of our King and to seek His grace, seek His justice, seek His mercy, seek His peace, and most of all, to seek His heart. And there's so much uncertainty surrounding all of us right now that we cannot forget that Scripture commands us to not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. I want to take this morning to go before the Lord in prayer as a church. Sometimes there becomes a point when nothing else but prayer seems like the right thing to do. And today is one of those times. As our nation and our city and our brothers and sisters in Christ and even our own families are being divided, we're spiritually hurting, we're facing financial burdens, and we're being filled with fear about the future. Some of us are even mourning the loss of loved ones right now. This is a crazy time in our world today, and there's no better time than now than to go before the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, the great provider, the one that heals, the one that restores, the one that comforts, the Holy One who loves us perfectly. So today, right now, church, I want to ask that we go before the Lord in prayer. Let me begin by opening this in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, You are the most high God, creator of all life, giver of every good and perfect gift, the Alpha and Omega. You are the lover of sinners and the forgiver of sins, restorer of hearts and judge over all. You alone are perfect and holy. And as Your people, we come in the spirit of the prophets to repent of our sins and the sins of our nations, past and present. And as a church and as a state, we have just spent the time praying through 2 Chronicles 7:14, where You say, if My people who are called by My name humble themselves and pray and seek My face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. And again, right now, Lord, we pray that prayer now. We come to You humbly and repenting of our sin, the sin of hatred for fellow image bearers of Christ. We humbly seek Your face and Your forgiveness. We humbly ask that You begin to open this nation's eyes to its deep-rooted selfishness and disregard from human life, from the womb to the grave. May we see this ugliness for what it is, sin. And I plead for the hearts of this country, may we turn our eyes upon You. Give us the hearts to love like You love, the eyes to see others the way that You see them, the ears to listen, to hear the screams for justice, hands that will serve and work for the good of others for the glory of God. And Lord, we ask for feet that would carry Your word to those who have not yet heard it. There are so many hurting and pain today. We ask that You heal us, dear Lord. Help us to be the bridge builders in Your name. Help us to do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with You, Lord. Show us the way forward toward reconciliation and unity. We plead that Your church would lead the way. We pray for a spiritual awakening and revival. And Lord, we know that that begins in us. We ask You to change our hearts, O God, that only You can bring the healing that we need. Lord, we take this time to lift up our leaders and authority over us. We pray that You would give them a wisdom not of this world, hearts that would seek peace and the courage and perseverance to see it through. You alone are the God who saves. We declare Your authority in our lives today and pray that Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, today we pray that we, as Your sons and daughters, would be a witness to the world of Your glory, that our actions would give You glory, showcase Your power, and demonstrate Your love as we live lives that are fully dependent on You. Lives that are poor in spirit and recognize our need for you. Lives that mourn for the sin in our lives. Lives that are meek as we trust in you. Lives that hunger and thirst for your righteousness to be shown in our lives. Lives that are merciful towards others. Lord, we ask for lives that would be pure in heart. And we ask for lives that would allow us to have courage to be peacemakers in this world. Lord, we love you and we seek you individually. We seek you as a church. We seek you as a city and as a nation at this time. And it is in your magnificent name of Jesus that we ask these things. Church, today will be a little bit different. We're going to continue to seek the Lord's heart and prayer throughout our service today. There will be several men that will be coming up and they will be leading us in prayer as we go before the throne of our King this morning. As we continue this time in prayer, I think it is extremely important that we begin with our own hearts and our own lives. That we would no longer live and act and think like those who have rejected the knowledge of Christ, whose hearts are hardened toward the truth of the gospel of Jesus. But instead, we would pursue God. Pursue Jesus, pursue holiness. That we would not be distracted by the things of this world, but that God's grace would overflow in our lives, and we would put into practice the truths that are revealed to us through God. That our knowledge of the truth would not far exceed our obedience to the truth. That our obedience to the truth would match our knowledge. And as we learn the things that God reveals to us, we would act in obedience to those. Church, I pray that we would model the life described by Paul in his letter to the Ephesians. I'm going to begin reading this new life that he talks about, beginning in verse 17 of chapter 4. And Scripture says this: "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their hearts. They have become callous and have given themselves up in sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But this is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away all falsehoods, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up and as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger, clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." Church, we're going to go before the Lord in prayer, and we're going to ask that our lives be a model of this new life in Christ, the one that we are commanded to follow. Lord, we plead with you that as followers of Jesus, we would walk in this newness of life, that we would be transformed by the grace of God. Lord, our prayer is that we would mirror the life that Paul describes in this letter to the Ephesians. Lord, we ask for your help to help us to pursue your holiness in our own lives. As Paul challenges us, that we would choose truth over lies, that we would choose righteous anger over sinful anger, that we would choose hardworking over stealing and lawlessness, that we would choose wholesome talk instead of rotten talk, that we would show compassion instead of bitterness. Lord, we pray that we would pursue this holiness in our own lives, not out of mere obligation simply because you said it, but for the good of our neighbor, for your pleasure as an act of worship to you, and out of gratefulness for the saving work that you have done in our lives. Jesus, as we pray for peace and joy and healing and forgiveness and restoration and reconciliation, we pray that it first begin and be evident in our own hearts. Lord, with humble hearts, we come before you and plead for these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. And church, as we are going to continue to be led in prayer, I'm going to ask for Pastor Tim, and Pastor Tim is going to come up and lead us in a prayer of reconciliation.
Good morning, church family. Kendrick asked me to talk and lead us in a prayer of reconciliation. Reconciliation is about mending and restoring broken relationships. And in the last week, we've witnessed the devastating and violent results of the broken relationships in our country and our world. We've seen broken relationships between citizens and government, between people and law enforcement, and between races, between those who are divided over black and white by their culture and their background and their appearance. And we mourn these broken relationships, not just because of the violence and the damage that we've seen flow out of them, but because at their heart they are blatant rejections of God. They're blatant rejections of all those who are made in God's image. They are completely anti to the gospel of Jesus Christ and the God that we worship. Racism, injustice, and violence all come from our sin and from the broken relationship at the heart of our sin between sinful people and God. I want to read from Ephesians chapter 2 when it talks about the broken relationships and the need for reconciliation that we have. In Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 13, it reads, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility." The Bible tells us that brokenness can only be repaired, and reconciliation can only come through Christ and him crucified. It is in his body through his death that Jesus reconciles sinners like you and I to God, and making us new people, blameless and above reproach, so that we can stand before God. And it is in his flesh through the cross that Jesus has made bitter enemies, like the Jews and the Gentiles for Paul, into one new person, into one body, that we can approach Christ. And in his flesh, killed and beaten on the cross, that he has broken down the dividing walls of hostility that exist in our world. Men and women from every race, language, and culture are made one in Christ, reconciled with each other and with God. For Jesus Christ himself is our peace. So today, let us pray through this passage. Let's pray for reconciliation and pray with David in Psalm 13 and ask, "How long, O Lord, how long will we deal with this brokenness? How long until Christ comes and makes all things new?" Let's pray. Lord God, the maker of heaven and earth and the maker of every man, woman, and child in this world, from every tribe, tongue, and race, Father, we ask that you forgive us. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves, and we have not defended the poor, the widow, and the sojourner. Forgive us for the grievous sins of violence and racism, which are against our brother and against you, O God. We ask that you forgive us. And Father, we ask for your mercy upon our city and upon our country in this time. We see anger, and we see the violence, and we see the injustice, and we see the broken relationships that have brought us here, our sin. And we ask that you will do what only you can do, that you will bring reconciliation. We ask that you would bring an end to this violence that has come to our city, that you would protect the vulnerable in these communities, that you would protect those in law enforcement who are out there to protect and to maintain good order and justice. And Father, we ask that you would heal the scars of racism and oppression that are so present in our nation. and instead that you would bring, as the prophet Amos tells us, justice that rolls down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. But Lord, we know that with man and with our best effort, this is not possible, that the offense is too great and the injury is too severe. But God, we know that with you, all things are possible. And in Jesus, you can make us whole. We can be made one, and even the most bitter enemies can be united into God's people, into one body. So we ask that you would do that, Jesus, to do what only you can do. Father, let us, your church, be the hands and feet of Jesus in this time. Help us to be peacemakers. Help us to lay down our own rights and lives. May we be sacrificially loving. Help us to be ministers of reconciliation, as 2 Corinthians 5 tells us. Let us love and serve those who are hurting, those who have been wronged, and even those who have committed wrongs in this time. Father, we need you, and we pray that you would come, Lord Jesus, and you would come soon. Amen. Take the next 20 seconds with your family or so and continue to pray for reconciliation that can come only through Christ.
Lord, we are so grateful for your Son who you sent to reconcile us to you. And Lord, we would just pray that we would be able to manifest that love that you have demonstrated, that love that you have shown, that love that you had given us, and that we would be able to manifest that to the world around us. That we would be your hands and your feet. That we would display your love and your grace and your mercy. And that we would be able to share that same peace and joy that you have given each of us. Lord, we love you and we thank you. And church, at this time, I'd like to invite Pastor Romeo that he would come up and that he would lead us in a time of repentance as we look at our own hearts during this time.
When King David's sin was revealed to him by the prophet Nathan, he went before God and cried out in Psalm 51, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit." Father God, as we spend this morning in just in humility and humbleness before you, God, we ask and we cry like King David, have mercy on us from our sin. Give us, show us mercy and forgive us of our sin, God. Forgive the sins of your church, Lord God, when at times we neglect our duties and responsibilities, our calling, God. Forgive us at times when we put aside reading your word, let's put aside prayer and worship. If we neglect, God, to share your love and your gospel to those around us, we ask for your forgiveness. We pray, God, that you create a clean heart within us and you remove all our iniquities, the sin of your church, the sin of your people, God. And that you will restore in us a heart that beats after your heart, a heart of compassion, a heart of mercy and of love to others, especially those that are outside our church walls and our church families, God, that we will show compassion and mercy. So, Father God, as we continue to pray this morning, we ask for your mercy and the blood of Jesus to wash us and cleanse us from our sin. Father God, we humble ourselves before you. Have mercy on us this morning. In this we pray. And I just want to encourage you guys to continue praying for just a few moments with your family as we continue to pray this morning.
Lord, and I think that it is so important what Pastor Romeo said, that we would have a heart that beats for yours, Lord, that we would repent, that we would not allow our own selfish desires to drive our heart, but that our heart would beat for you. And I would just pray that right now as a church, Lord, we would take our focus off ourselves and that it would be focused on you and that our hearts would be aligned with your heart and that our heart would beat with your heart. Lord, we'd love you. We thank you for the patience and the peace that you've given us to allow us to repent and come to you. Lord, we love you and we thank you. And it's in your Son's name that we ask, that we humbly rejoice that we are able to repent and come before you. Amen. And church, at this time, I would like to ask Corrado, he's the chairman of our deacons, and that he would just come and lead the church in a time of prayer for unity.
Good morning, Calvary Church. Colossians 3:14 says that above all other virtues that we are to put on love, and that love would give us a bond of perfection. And in Ephesians 4:3, it says that we are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and that we would be blessed then by a bond of peace. Just want to ask that you pray with me now, church, for unity in the Spirit, unity of the church. Let's go to the Lord now. Father, praise, honor, and glory be yours. Father, we pray during these times of tension and uncertainty that your church promote unity. Father, that your church have one purpose under you. And we just pray, Father, that through your Spirit, that you would give us the ability and the strength that is needed, Father, to follow your word in this area. Father, let unity begin in your house, Father, and let your church lead the way. We just pray that this spirit of oneness be evident to the world around us, Father, and that through that they would be drawn to you. Father, we do praise, honor, and glorify you, Father, and we just we pray for those first responders that are out there serving and that are in danger. Pray that your protection would be over them, Father. We pray for those people that in all of this have been injured, been affected by this, Father. Some have even died. Pray that you would be with them, Father. You would be with those families and that you would bring comfort and peace that the world doesn't understand, but that your presence be there. Father, I just thank you for all those people that do serve, Father. And again, I just pray that your hand would be upon them, Father. And pray for the conditions of their hearts. and that those that don't have a saving knowledge of you, that that would be accomplished, Father. I just thank you. I pray for your church. I pray for Calvary and pray for the families that are tuning in now, Father, that we would just continue to pray and throughout this day, Lord, and that we would just make it a habit, Lord, to pray going forward here, Father, for that unity that is needed. I just thank you and praise you and pray this all in Jesus' name.
Lord, what an interesting time we find ourselves in, where we are being thrown at so many different things that divide us. How we feel about politics, how we feel about sickness, how we feel about something as important as life. How we feel about people. And Lord, these things have just been thrown at us and dividing us, and we know that this is not the heart of you. We know this is not the heart of Jesus, that we would be a divided people, but instead we know is that we would be a united people. And Jesus, when he walked the earth, he prayed for our unity. It's one of the things that he prayed for and prayed for and prayed for. It was so important that he prayed for it, and it's recorded in Scripture. And Lord, we just pray that we would be unified in the Spirit through the bond of peace, as Paul tells us, that we would be peaceful, that we would look at our brothers and sisters as just image bearers of you. That we would be able to love them just as you loved us. That we would be able to look past our preferences and see them and to see their heart, and to know in our heart that we are all created by you, by a loving creator, and that we should be unified and that we should follow you, Lord. So I would just lift up Oscar's prayer that for us as a church, we would be unified, that the peace would flow through us, that you would be our focus, and love for our brothers and sisters would be our goal, that we could, people would look at us and know that we're your disciples, that they would know that we're different for because of our love for one another. Lord, we love you. We thank you. And it's in your Son's precious and holy name that we ask this form of unity. And church, now I'd like to invite Dustin Luck up to come and to just lead us in a prayer of just joy as we walk through these different trials together.
Thank you. I know right now, with all the things that are going on in the world, that joy seems like the furthest thing away, but I was reminded of the letter of James, and where he writes in James 2, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flower falls and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Pray with me now. Lord, we just thank you that whatever we're going through, whatever trials come our way, that we know that you are with us. We know that you will give us the strength to overcome. You will give us the wisdom to see these things through. And Lord, it's because of that that we can have joy. And we just pray to you, Lord, that you would give us that joy, that you would help us to see you through all things, that you would help us to see that you are working through us and in us in these things, that we can see you more clearly, that by overcoming these trials, by relying on you, that we are gaining more and more of you. We are gaining more wisdom. We are gaining more patience. And we are just experiencing you more and more fully. We don't like going through trials. We don't like it when things aren't going our way. And our first thought, our first notion is to complain, and it's to try and get our way out. But Lord, we need to first seek you and seek your kingdom. And you tell us that when we do that, that you will come and you will provide for us. That we don't have to worry about what tomorrow is going to bring. We don't have to worry about what this world is going to throw our way. Because you have seen everything from beginning to end. You know what we're going to go through before we go through it. There is nothing that we can come to you with that surprises you, that you have not already planned a way for us to get through. So, Lord, we just want to be trustworthy. We want to just fully put our faith and our trust in you. We know that you will hold us in your hands. And, Lord, we just pray that that joy, that peace will be seen by people around us, that the people in our lives who don't know you would see that we are acting differently. We are reacting differently to these times, that they see that joy. And when they ask us why we have that joy, why we don't have the worry that everyone else has, that we just tell them about you. We make sure that we thank you and we let them know that we are thankful to you, that we can come to you, that we can just rely on you. And that doesn't mean that our lives are going to be perfect, Lord. You have told us that we are going to go through troubled times, but what you do promise is that you will give us a way through and you will give us that joy and that peace. Not as the world understands it, Lord, but we know that we are looking towards a future in eternity that will outshine anything that happens to us here in this life. We know that your Son paid the ultimate price and gave his life to cover our sins and so that we could be reconciled with you. You have sent your Holy Spirit to comfort us in times just like these, and that you will continue to do so, that your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness will never run out. There is an unlimited supply for anything that we can do, anything that we can go through. So, Lord, we just throw ourselves at your feet. We just ask for your mercy. We ask for you to continue to give us peace and joy through everything that we're going through. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Just take a few moments to pray with your family, with the people in your home right now.
Lord, we just pray that as we face trials, as we face tribulations, as we face difficult situations and circumstances in our life, that you would train our hearts to seek you first. That when we would face these different obstacles in our life, that you would be the first thing that we run to, that God would be the first one that we would look to, that we would come before you in prayer. Lord, we are so grateful that we know that these trials and tribulations are meant to refine us and to build us and to grow us and to make us more like you. So, Lord, we would just pray that as we go through them, that you would just guard our hearts. And as we face these trials, we would be grateful that we're becoming more like you. And that we would experience the joy and the peace that comes with knowing you. Amen. And church, at this time is just an opportunity that we have pastors from the community, in this community, as our brothers and sisters in Christ that are praying alongside us and praying together for our city and our community. I want to ask Pastor Doc Jacobs to come and lead us in a time of prayer. From Doc Jacobs, Pastor Doc Jacobs from Christ Community Church.
Yes. What's up, beautiful people? My name is Doc, and I am the pastor of Christ Community Church just down the street, and I'm fond of your pastor here. Kendrick is just a dear and authentic and wise man, and I've often said, if God did not have me in ministry, you'd probably see me around more often because I just dig him and his leadership. So it's an honor to be invited to come here. I just got done, you know, worshiping with our community and just drove on over here to be with you. And I am passionate about unity. And we have an adversary, Satan, an enemy, that is passionate about division. And I was thinking about how Jesus entered into the religious structure and made people uncomfortable, and how he often healed people on the Sabbath. So this is our Sabbath, right? This is our opportunity to do our religion. And Jesus came in and said, yeah, this isn't about you doing your religion. We need to do what's righteous and just and good. And so he healed people on the Sabbath, right? And he often healed people by driving out demons. And every once in a while, there would be a demon that his disciples, like us, people like us, they couldn't quite handle some of them. And Jesus said, hey, this spirit right here, this spirit can only be handled with prayer and fasting. And that was convicting because I was like, man, when was the last time that I prayed and fasted that God would move against the spirit of division and move against the spirit of racism in our society, and that his spirit would enter in and infiltrate and bring justice and righteousness and goodness and conviction and challenge and heal and comfort. So that's my prayer this morning, for us to join in with the Spirit of God, for him to drive out this spirit that is coming against him. So Lord, we recognize that this spirit that is coming against our society and coming against humanity and coming against people that you love so much, we recognize that it is not of you, Jesus. It is of the enemy. And Father, we pray that we would see a movement in society, but that would be such an authentic and real movement that it would be one that starts by moving in each individual's heart, that would start in my heart and start in the hearts of the people around us, and it would, and your spirit would engage us in such a way that we, Lord, we allow you to change us and transform us as your disciples, one at a time, and that movement of your spirit in us, in our unique context, with our unique stories, with our unique discomforts, with our unique hurts, with our unique past experiences and vantage points, that you would move us to be more like you, Jesus, and that we would watch that movement on individual scales create an awesome movement of your spirit that changes the course of humanity, that changes the culture that we live in and the society that we live in. Jesus, won't your spirit move in that way, Father? When we say amen here in just a moment, may that not be the end of our prayers for you to move in a powerful, just, righteous, impartial way, Father. May it not be the end of our, may our posture not go back to anything that is wicked and unrighteous, Father, but may we continue to be in a posture of prayer. May we continue to be in a posture that you commanded us to be in when you said for us to be quick to listen and slow to speak. May we be really quick to listen and understand. May we be slow to anger. But Father, may we also deal righteously with our anger. May you free us to be patient and allow those who are angry to be angry. Won't you give us wisdom? Won't you let us partner with the work your Spirit is doing? Won't you let us be the church, not be preoccupied and consumed with getting back to our religion during this pandemic time, but help us, Father, to be open to the work that you want your church to be doing. God, I could just keep talking and talking, but ultimately, Father, we need you to move, and we're asking you, we're seeking you to move. God, won't you show us answers to the prayers that continue to encourage us to keep going in prayer, continue to encourage us to be faithful. God, this and so much, much more, God, we pray, so much more. Again, may this not be the end of our prayers, Lord, but we give it to you, and we ask your Spirit to move this and so much more. We pray in the name of your mighty Son, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thanks. Such an honor to be a part of this with you and join you guys. Thank you.
Church, we are so grateful that we've had this time to just come together in prayer. And as we've talked about some issues and reconciliation and peace and joy, and we've talked about things at the 500,000 foot levels, we look down on all of God's creation and we talked about it. I don't want to pass this opportunity up for us to remember our family members, those in our local body of believers, those in our Calvary Church family that need prayer, that need to be lifted up in prayer at this time. Church, as we remember, Bob Lowry is going to be going in for more cancer treatment, to biopsies and tests, and as they wrestle, and this is a countless number of times that he is fighting cancer. And so we pray for his health. We pray for the doctors leading him. We also want to lift up Patty, as she will be going in for testing, as she is dealing with different growths and tumors, and that the Lord would be there and be with her and would guard her and her heart, that he would be with the doctors and guide them as they work. Lord, we'd also like to lift up the first responders in our family, in our church family, as we have Othar and Eric, as they're on the front lines and protecting people's lives. We have Michael, who's out in there fighting fires, Lord, that you would just be with him and be with their families. As Joey and JD are part of our extended family, Lord, that you would just continue to be with them and to guide them, that you would protect them during this time. Lord, as there's so many nurses that work from this church family, whether it's the Bernardos, whether it's Melissa, the Milans, we just have nurses that are on the front lines that are fighting, that you would continue to be with them, that they would be a witness to each of those that they come in contact with, that you would give them the right words to say, that you would guard their hearts, that you would protect them as they work, but that ultimately all of these people would give glory to you in the different situations that they find themselves in. Lord, we are so grateful to have a church family, that we love each other. And again, Lord, I would just pray that for us as a church family, that there'd be something different, that people would, again, they would look at us and know that we are different because, one, of our love for you, and two, of our love for one another. And church family, I'd like to end this time in prayer by just reading a passage from Paul. We began this church service with a part of it where he talked about, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. I'd like to read this entire passage as we close our time in prayer today. Beginning in verse 4, Paul writes this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers,
whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Church, I am so grateful to be a part of a church family that would take time to set everything aside and go before the throne of God in this time of prayer. Thank you, church, for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next week, and we look forward to serving with you this week. Church, we love you, we're grateful for you, and we are praying that when we come back, we will be stronger together. We love you, and we thank you. Bye, Calvary.